Arcane Analysis is brought to you by BlizzPro.com, partnered with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Follow them on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Legion by Lenovo or visit LenovoGaming.com.
The portals are open. The refreshments are conjured. Settle down for Arcane Analysis.
Welcome to episode 3 of Arcane Analysis. I'm your host, Samantha, and here are my co-hosts.
I'm Allie.
And I'm Katie.
Tonight we're going to be discussing raiding, going over the introduction of raids in early vanilla and how those have progressed throughout each expansion and to what we see today in Legion.
Very fitting seeing that this is, you know, the advent of Nighthold.
Yes.
This is the, I guess, the third raid of Legion.
And the first official raid with a tier.
Yes, finally tier.
Yay, tier. I don't even know.
That transmog?
Yes, transmog. I just want tier bonuses. Tier bonuses are fun.
They're so much fun. It just makes your class like a whole, it just adds so much more depth and interest to it. Oh, love it, love it, love it.
I mean, they were brought in from right at the start with Molten Core. It was just ways to change up how your class played a little bit and kind of rewarded you for getting some really cool gear.
Yeah, and it's interesting. A lot of the, like, abilities of previous tier sets ended up getting baked into, you know, baseline for usually for the next expansion or brought back and returned from time to time.
Yeah, like a temporary boost to something
mm-hmm.
or helped designers, I guess, play with something. Back in ICC, there was a time where Mind Blast actually was omitted from the Shadow Priest rotation because it was a DPS loss to spend that cast time on it, which is interesting to when you look at it.
It's almost like the opposite problem of, you know, single target flame strike.
Yeah, very true. So I guess at this beginning, raids, most people are aware vanilla was taking on from EverQuest, and 40-man raids were the thing. It was the norm. I mean, you had Molten Core, you had Anexia, Blackwing Glare, Encourage, and Naxxramas. All 40-man raids.
Mm-hmm.
You also had some smaller raids between Zul'Gurub, the ruins of Encourage, and I think that was it. And then smaller dungeon raids between Stratholme, Scholomance, and the last one is Maradon, added in periodically through the original World of Warcraft to add some variety to the mix.
Then I think just to accommodate just how frustrating it was to have 40 people, because at that point you're just herding cats. But at the same time, I've heard, you know, you didn't really actually need 40 people. You just needed bodies in the door. So, you know, they started to tune those groups down into more effective teams.
Well, I mean, the original Molten Core, somebody said that you probably only needed about 20 to 25 players active in the whole thing. You could have, I mean, you were planned to have 5 people just standing away far enough out of combat to res people in the time. That was an interesting strategy, of course. You had, if you were Alliance, Paladins were the only Alliance, and I think there were like 3 that you had on hand just to constantly hit your buffs. I mean, that was, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they had Pally Power. Because you had to assign your buffs and then make sure you kept them up. Was it 2 minutes or 5 minutes?
It was 5 minutes originally.
It was 5, okay.
By the time you got all the way around to 1, you'd start back at the beginning.
Pretty much.
Well, it's sort of interesting how the 40-man raid enabled many players of so many different skill levels to participate and actually still be in the same content tier. Whereas now, each player, especially like with Mythic, each player plays such an important role to making sure that their raid doesn't blow up and die, that they're contributing to whatever role they're playing in. It's not like you just have that person that is waiting in the wings. It's like, all right, you can kind of experience the content from, you know, like 50 or 80 yards back, so you can just res people and not be in combat, you know.
I think part of that comes along with the advent of add-ons and such like DPM. Original Molten Core didn't have something like that. You had to base what you were doing on boss emotes and different queue times and spell casts as they happened. You didn't have a countdown really for them. So it was more, everything was lightly tuned. You couldn't expect something to happen and move accordingly right before it happened unless you really had something down. So as ratings progress and add-ons have come around, and you know, of course, the advent of recount, the expectations of a raider changed.
Yeah, everybody, you have to pull your weight or learn the dance, especially like actually it's one of my first, you know, because my first raid was the 25-man, actually it was 10-man Naxxramas in Wrath, but that was my first raiding experience. And the first time we killed it, it was a tank and a healer doing the dance by themselves because everybody else failed and died. But because there was no enrage timer, it was just a matter of whittling the dude down.
Yep, it was me. It was me on my Holy Priest, a Death Knight tank, and a Hunter, and we 3-man, 10-man Hygen. And it was just the funniest thing in the world. I guess raiding back then was more about, you know, executing the strategy. As long as you sat there and pressed buttons, it was almost like you could defeat it. DPS was less an issue.
Well, having recount gives players the ability to sort of pinpoint where issues lay in the raid and also possibly assign blame or misdirect kudos to players that are undeserving. But I think that those moments that you were mentioning before where the raiding was more about executing the mechanics correctly and not so much about a DPS check or a healing check kind of allows for some really fun moments to happen where it is just the three of you and now you're like the backbone and kind of the unexpected hero of the fight and the raid. And I think now that there's less of a chance like that, maybe you'll have the shaman, like the raid wipes and then the shaman onks and like they're able to get the last, you know, eke out the last DPS to get the boss down. But I think those sort of heroic, there are less of those heroic moments now.
There are, but I remember being the last Shadow Priest and killed heroic Cho'Gall for us. So there, those moments still exist.
Fun. Yeah.
I mean, as Warcraft progressed, you had all those 40-man raids, and I mean, not to put it against it, Naxxramas and AQ40 were very tightly tuned towards the end. I mean, I heard stories about you needed 6 tanks or 8 tanks for certain things. And it was less of a situation on... How would I say this? It was less about making sure that the group was doing exactly what they needed to as opposed to just having the right composition.
Hmm.
I mean, even on 10-man horsemen, 4 horsemen was a tricky feat because you needed to do, at that point, a fairly tricky tank swap at the front before you moved on to the back of the room.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, one of those things that contributed to, like, a lot of people not seeing Naxxramas the first time around, because those were starting to get into the more complex raiding mechanics that we see today. Like, Molten Core, when you look at it now, wasn't that intense as far as, like, crazy mechanics, whereas you see something like Siegecraft or Blackfuse, where you've got things flying out, and you've got to kite things this way, and you've got a whole separate team, you know, jumping onto conveyor belts, you know, which is a step up from Thorim and Ulduar, where you had, you know, your hall team and your arena team going through and, you know, encountering completely different sections of the fight. Like, they weren't even the same encounter together.
Certainly not. And I think that's more an advent of as soon as you start paring down. I mean, you went from 40-man raids being the norm in vanilla to Burning Crusade. They swapped down. They said, okay, well, 25-man is going to be the normal, and there's going to be some 10-mans mixed along. I mean, you had Karazhan, you had Zul'aman. Those were smaller raids that focused in on the group content, but were offered alongside the 25-man, which offered its own little discrepancies.
But I remember the only thing about, like, at the time that 10-mans were introduced, they were thought to be easier. Like, they were, that's not a serious raid, or, you know, welfare epics come out of Kara, you know, for people that just have the time to slog through it kind of thing.
Yeah, and I think that held true for a long time. Definitely in Wrath of the Lich King, there were 10 and 25, and 10 mans were tuned slightly easier. You could easily get through them without Bloodlust for the most part, or Heroism if you want to call it that. If you're wrong.
That's a fun fight.
That there's an Alliance member among their cast.
Oops.
But it was definitely viewed as the more casual group, and as you went up to the 25, that's where you got your legendaries, that's where you got the real progression, and that's where you get the high-end items.
Well, that was the heroic mode. Like, it's interesting to see where the raids only had, there was only one group size, there was only one mode, and it was either, kill it or no kill it, and there wasn't any... There was no bridging the gap, like trying to make that gap from being a casual raider to a serious raider was heavily scrutinized. It was hard to make that jump, at least even for me in Wrath it was, because people were like, oh, it's so cute. You've cleared 2 rings in 10 man and you want to do a 25?
I mean, I knew guilds that when Wrath of the Lich King barely got, 2 or 3 bosses killed in Ulduar 10 man just because they weren't, great raiders. So they were raiding Naxxramas well into Ulduar's times until when they, were able to luck out and get a few good pieces of gear. We finally got through XT. And then Trial of the Crusader came out and we got a boss or two in there and got a few more pieces of gear and were able to push farther in Ulduar. Actually completing a tier, it was a feat. Nowadays, though, with normal mode being quite easy, I would say, honestly. And even LFR, seeing through the content has become normal. Like, that's the status quo. Which I think is a good thing.
I think so.
I think it is a good thing.
It's encouraged some weird cultural things, but at the same time, just that availability and exposure is really good. Sorry, Katie.
Oh, no, you're totally fine. We're all on the same page. Yay, woo! But I think that you kind of brought up an interesting point where you were mentioning how in a previous expansion you might have been working on a completely different tier than what the current tier was, and then finally making it into that progression, maybe really late into the expansion. And I think now we're seeing that you don't have people that are still really, progressing their guild through 6.0 content. Everyone is now trying to push for that 7.0 content. I think that's kind of an interesting sort of shift in the dynamic, or the kind of the understanding. It's like, hey, you're going to play the expansion content when the expansion comes out. You're not going to be still stuck in Wrath or BC when we're totally into a new expansion.
Well, and one of the things with Wrath is that there was no way to catch up. Not until they had introduced the Ice Crown 5-mans. Like, you had to go do your normal heroics to get your mix of blues and purples, and then you had to go new racks, go to racks, excuse me, go to Nax and get all of your purples, and then you had to go to Ulduar so you could get a better tier set, or so you could do 2-piece Nax and 2-piece Ulduar so you could go get your new 2-piece from Trial of Crusader and, grab a nice weapon off of Malagos and, grab a nice trinket off of Ruby Sanctum, or, you were mixing and matching to go progress a lot more.
Certainly. And that was even the easier version. I mean, for Burning Crusade, you had to go through, if you got a new tank and you were on Black Temple, then you had to go all the way back through all the other stuff to get the right gear for your tank, and they had to, you had to run through all that stuff. There was no option. And even then, you had the attunement processes. You couldn't just walk into a raid. That was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You had to make sure that you were, done this long, tedious quest line to say, yes, I can even walk into this instance, which was... started even from the beginning of Molten Core and Blackwing Lair, I'm pretty certain. And I guess the timing of raid, getting into the raids has become easier and easier and easier over time. And some people cheapen that experience, but I think it's been useful. Raiding is, in my opinion, one of the most interesting parts of the content, and really putting together that group. And if you make it exceedingly hard just to walk into the instance, then it makes it harder to get that camaraderie between friends and guild members.
And you're also possibly forcing people to stick with one thing, whether it's to not venture into a different class and spec, because the, you know, getting gear for your new tank is going to be prohibitive and time consuming, or even, you know, feeling like you need to stay with a group that you're not happy with, or if you're truly unhappy with them and they're unhappy with you, that you might not ever really be able to rejoin or find another group, because the social dynamic becomes so integral and important to, you know, progression, that it could possibly turn off people. So this catch-up mechanics, you know, A, enable you to explore more of the content with different like classes, specs, different play styles, and, you know, meet new people and find people as you progress along your journey to become the best raider.
Gonna be the very best.
Best. Like no one ever was. Bam, bam, bam.
But as, you know, as we discussed before, as, you know, the content may be, quote unquote, getting easier and easier or easier to get into, suddenly we notice that mechanics are becoming harder and more abstract. Yeah, you had situations in Guild War where you had the XT heart and you wanted to put as much damage into it, but you didn't want to kill it unless you wanted to trigger hard mode. You had, as mentioned before, a Thorum. You had the arena team and you had the hallway team. And if the hallway team screwed up, then it was a raid wipe. And, you know, that was half or a portion of the raid. If the arena team screwed up, then it was a raid wipe as well. And it was suddenly you put focus and a much harder breakpoint on success and failure onto smaller groups to really get something down.
Yeah, the element of a skill check instead of just a, well, we're just going to wipe on it until we plow it down. It's a, well, I love you, buddy, but you might need to sit this one out because you just can't dance the dance this time. And so it creates an interesting cultural dynamic just from that aspect. But also, you know, as we get older and cleverer and smarter, we still want that challenge. So, and I'm sure even from a design perspective, making the same old thing is kind of dull. And that's one thing that I remember hearing commentary about Warlords, is that like the exterior content was rather dry, but some of those mechanics, some of those boss fights are still commended as the best that, you know, some players have ever seen.
Certainly. They added a lot of interesting new mechanics that people hadn't seen, which was good, because I want to say a lot of content from Mists, while there were new and awesome designs, I remember a lot of our explanations for fights were, well, if you remember this fight from before, then obviously you know how to understand this mechanic. And that was a little saddening, because the raids were fun, but it wasn't a whole lot of new stuff. It was just more of like, okay, just translate this boss kill over to this one.
That's a council fight, and that's a tank and spank, and that sort of thing. I think Throne of Thunder did it a little better.
Oh, certainly.
But
even still, you had, I mean, when you look back, the council fight, that was, I think, the second boss in Throne of Thunder. And going into Siege of Orgrimmar's council fight, you can look at the number of abilities that each of those enemies have, and you went from, like, two abilities, maybe one for most of them, to suddenly most of them having two or three different things that you're constantly having to work out for, or individuals are having a hyper focus on them.
Mm-hmm. And the same thing for like group swaps for I'm trying to remember, like Hygen or something.
Spoils.
from Max Ramis, where it was like, okay, you swap on the gate and that's it, and then, or you could just stack all up on one side and do the thing, and then you have spoils where you've got teams swapping rooms at appropriate times and then swapping sides, and, you know, it just brings a multiplicative aspect to it. And if somebody screwed up or, you know, missed a cooldown, it brought the whole team down, but it was a slow, like, okay, well, they blew up over here and we've got to wait for him to blow up over on this side too.
Mm-hmm. I remember one of the time, especially when you got to Heroic on Heroic at the time, Mythic is what you would call it now. Just the if one team was too strong and they started blowing things up, it killed the other team because you had ads spawning on the other side. Mm-hmm. And so it was this balance of we can go faster, but we can't because we have to slow down. And so it wasn't, you know, in some situations with those split groups, you could stack one of the groups to really push it through and make the rest of the fight easier. And that was a situation where you definitely couldn't. It was almost a hindrance.
Yeah.
I remember wiping more than my fair share on spoils. At some point, I couldn't even hear a DBM countdown because by that point, it was just like, became this sort of angry, like, rage where it's like, all right, we're making the same mistakes over and over again in spoils. And it was because, you know, people were trying to, well, as all raid wipes happen, it's a, you know, but someone's trying to execute the mechanic incorrectly. But, you know, it was really about paying attention to that balance. You know, it's, you have to, you can't just stack up the one side like you were mentioning. You had to really, you know, balance it out. And so we've seen, you know, these raid fights kind of evolve over time with more nuances like that. And, you know, that's been really interesting.
Something that I guess we forgot to talk about as we've gone from talking to the 40-mans to the 25s and now 10-man kind of topic. Back in Cataclysm, they said, well, we're going to combine 10-man and 25. Because you had at the end of ICC, you had the emergence of heroic mode as finally as an option. And so normal mode, which was the only mode prior, became the easy mode, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. You would go through that and then you would go on to heroic mode for a larger challenge. And so it added this dynamic where, you know, suddenly if you were good, you could clear the instance on normal. And if you were great, you were still clearing the instance on your typical difficulty. So it added, you know, lesser skilled groups to be able to push through and see the content.
And I think it's one of those things that may have inadvertently introduced the split raid, because you had people that were farming 10-man normal and heroic to gear up for 25-man normal and heroic, but you were running all four sometimes until they made it so you picked one or the other, but you couldn't run both. Or if you picked 25, you could switch it to 10, but you couldn't switch it back. And I think the same thing for normal and heroic, like if you picked one, you couldn't have the other, but you could always drop it down a notch.
I think it was that you could switch it between 10 and 25 on normal, but as soon as you did heroic, that's for Cataclysm at least, that's when it locked you to an instance size. So as soon as you swapped it to heroic, you were set on either 10 or 25 and you couldn't change it. Because this is back when you had a single instance lockout, and if you were a part of that, then you shared it with anybody who walked in the instance. Mm-hmm. So it made pugs a little scary, because if someone came in, they could technically steal your lockout and clear the rest of the instance, and you come back in at a later date, and the instance would be empty, and you go, what the hell happened here? That happened to me once. It was not fun.
Yeah, I had it happen before. We had somebody leave the raid and take their lockout with them.
Yeah. Or sell their lockout.
Yep.
Oh, that was fun.
Yeah. Which was...
But it, you know, we talk about that, the 10 and 25 combined, so you could choose 10 or 25. They offered some equal rewards, but it also progressed to being locked to a single boss at, I think it was Mists of Pandaria that added that feature. I can't remember. It's either Mists or Warlords, but the idea was that you could go through and you could run the boss, the instance multiple times as you want, but you could only get loot from a boss once during the week.
Yeah, that was Warlords.
I remember that for Siege.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a 6.0 thing, I think.
Okay. So it made it more interesting to, you know, raid with your friends if you wanted to, because then you could raid with your main group that would go through, and then you could raid with your friends. It was something that was new. It allowed, again, more chances to get into the raids.
Right, and that also introduced flex mode, which I think we kind of omitted entirely. because it is
praise still kind of flex mode.
Yeah, well, flex mode became normal, and normal became heroic, and heroic became mythic, and it's interesting just how we've kept the verbiage, but the verbiage has changed because it's like, well, I used to be a heroic reader, and it's like, oh, that's so cute, you run heroics, and it's like, no, that was the hard stuff, that was the cutting edge, you know, blood, sweat, and tears and expletives kind of mode. But yeah, flex mode. So that's what they had introduced during Mists was flex mode, and then came Warlords. They applied the flex mode, which became normal, to the heroic. They applied it to everything so that you could accommodate the guy that needed to go out of town for his, you know, sister's wedding and still carry on the raid. So it gave the ability to continue on if something happened, but at the same time, it inadvertently made people disposable more so than they used to be.
I think it made the idea of a bench more obsolete.
Yes.
We had a 10-man heroic group, and it was great, except we had 13 people on the roster. So yep. We had to rotate people around in and out of the instance all the time, and it was frustrating. There was drama. There was a lot of anger that was thrown out, and we would try to get people into bosses, but we couldn't get everybody in on every boss. If somebody was inherently very weak on a boss, we had to sit them, and we sat them almost the whole tier on that same boss, and they never got that kill. And I felt so bad, but at the same point, it was hard enough that you couldn't take that chance. And as flex mode became the norm, suddenly you could have that 13-man roster, and if somebody missed, well, you just ran with 12 that week. And it was nice because if somebody wanted to bring a friend, then you'd run with 14 that week. And it made it interesting to, I guess, get gear a little bit easier, but also have a little more fun with everything.
Well, you actually bring up a really good point that I forgot about, which is that it's true. You would be sitting out these raiders, and they might possibly never get a kill on, you know, on a boss because they weren't really allowed to raid on that boss. Whereas with flex mode, you didn't end up running into that anymore. Now the player that it's like, all right, you're bad on this boss, or we thought you would be bad on this boss because you have this certain class and spec, and we've decided outside of the raid that that's not going to fly. Now all of a sudden they're able to play. And then they can bring their friends, like you were mentioning, with being able to add more people or play with less people. So I think flex rating was actually one of the best decisions I've seen happen for the game. Because you just enable so many more people to play.
It introduced accessibility that hadn't been there before.
And again, it's that consistent nature of accessibility throughout the whole progression of rating. They really make a point that they want people to see the content, but they also want to provide a challenge. And you went from 40-man being more of a logistics challenge to 25, where you could really hold people accountable and say, you have to perform or you're not going to progress through. And as you made 25-man and 25 heroic, starting in World War with the hard mode and then going on to Trial of the Crusader and ICC with an official hard mode separate lockout, you push the envelope of offering content for those that really wanted to give it their all and make it special. And that continues on with Cataclysm of Mists and then into Warlords of Draenor with Mythic 20-man. Sure, you brought it down again, but it was more to really refine and say, this is the difficulty and we can really balance you around having a certain number of buffs, a certain number of debuffs, and making sure that you can make it literally as hard as they can. And while it may not seem like it's getting harder, with bosses going down quicker and quicker every expansion and every tier, they're really throwing everything at us. And I think most of the change in bosses dying faster are more how the top-end raiders approach it than anything else.
Yeah, it's not a, like, it's almost addressed in a professional capacity because, I mean, some of them are. Some of the world firsts are, you know, they play WoW for a living. And that's, you know, an interesting concept compared to, you know, 12 years ago when it was strictly a hobby. But that's also just the way the culture of gaming has changed, where this isn't just, you know, your closet hobby. This is, you know, what your friends do, what people watch for entertainment. And it's interesting to see how that has progressed and impacted the kind of content that we see and how we consume it.
I kind of wanted to make a point about how we've gone from 40 man raids to 25 man raids, and now we're at now we're at Flex and Mythic. I almost could say that we're almost back at that sort of 40 man perspective when it comes to raiding, where in our Flex groups you have the ability to bring whoever you want, which means that you're possibly going to be bringing people that aren't necessarily good at the content and are learning or trialing possibly. And it's kind of like that what was happening in 40 man raiding, where it was like, okay, we know that only 20 or 25 of the people really need to be active and know what they're doing. The other people are kind of there to sort of be bodies, but they're still participating in a small way. And we're sort of seeing that with Flex, where yeah, they're not going to be just only, you know, pressing a button every, you know, couple of minutes to make sure a buff is, you know, being applied. They're going to be participating, but at the same time, it's not as crucial for them to be a perfect raider as you would expect in Mythic raiding, or even I would even argue in that 25 man heroic raiding that you were seeing in ICC Cataclysm and the first part of Myst. So I think it's sort of this nice return back to raiding being fun, like raiding being fun for a group of people that can't play at the Mythic level. And I think that was a huge part of the demographic of players that was so upset in previous expansions. And I think that that's been resolved down. It's just really awesome to see more people get into raiding, or having that sort of entryway into raiding where it's not, you know, LFR looking for raid, kind of easy mode, but there's still enough responsibility for these players to kind of play in a higher tier of raiding without having to perform at, you know, at peak, like top 1% of all raiders kind of thing that you start to see with Mythic raiders. So I just really love the evolution of what WoW has done over the years.
Yeah, there's that introduction of accessibility where, you know, you can actually run a 5-man all the time and you can be ready to roll for raiding at any time. Like just because I can use it as a personal example, because I'm not raiding, but I did manage to clear Heroic Emerald Nightmare before Trial of Valor came out. It was might have been a bit of a hard carry because we borrowed a couple of Mythic Raiders, but I think like 80% of the group hadn't been in there and been on Heroic before. So, you know, we had somebody that could functionally explain the fights, and you know, the rest of us were good enough to pick up the pieces and carry on, and we cleared everything in, you know, like 1 to 3 shots, I think, with the exception of
probably Cenarius or Illagena.
No, actually Ursoc. We wiped more times on Ursoc than we did anything else.
Oh, people didn't get out of the way when he charged. Was that what happened?
People were getting trucked. So it was one of those just kind of like comical situations, but it was really great on my end because I had comparable gear. I had better, actually, I couldn't even get upgrades that rolled normal out of that heroic instance because I was better geared for my 5-mans, but I could jump in and be useful. And it was amazing. You know, I got to see the content. I got a little bit of challenge. I got, you know, my taste of heroic for that content patch, and I'm good to go until I can go weasel into some Nighthold.
Well, you bring up an interesting point, and in that for the longest time, if you were actually all up until this expansion, if you wanted to get, you know, the best gear, the best progression, naturally it was you were going to raid. If you were going to do anything in PvP or PvE, you were going to raid. Dungeons only got you so far, and the rest of the way was raiding. Nowadays, you don't see that, I guess, necessary need, and the fact that people are still going in the raids is, I guess, a good thing. It's more about, as Katie said, the fun, the interest, the exploration. You definitely don't need to go in there for the gear, the way Mythic Plus and Mythic Dungeons and the Titanforge system rolls. You don't need that. That's not your hard progression as much as the experience and the camaraderie of your group more often than not. I mean, that changes as you get into Nighthold now with Tier finally opening up in Legion. Was it 100 and 100 and some days.
Yeah.
120 days is current for Emerald Nightmare, 71 and counting for Trial of Valor. But finally, as you get that tier gear with the set bonuses and the extra benefits, that's going to make raiding more enticing. But up till now, in that point, you didn't really need to set foot in Emerald Nightmare, I guess.
Yeah, there was a lot more parity based on you could do whatever you want and still be relevant instead of be frowned upon for, well, if you want to raid, then you need to play the Raiders way and play the Raiders game. And it, I don't know. It's interesting. It's really, really awesome because it's like, I still know how to do hard mechanics. I just don't have the patience for the raiding anymore. You know, but that's just me as a person and a player.
Yeah, and I think it all depends on the group that you get into. And it's hard to get a good 10 plus people together that have the same mentality. And often, I mean, there's so many people playing the game and so many guilds and so many raid groups but it's still amusing to see that it's hard to find one that really aligns up with your skill and your personality and everything.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even have to because we have Cross Realm now. Like, you can jump into anything that you want and not run blindly into it. And that was one of the problems that, like, I had when I was hardcore raiding, is that I jumped onto a blind server with a blind group that I never actually ran with. And once I ran with them, like, they seemed great on paper. I seemed great on paper, but it was a horrible experience. And, you know, I lasted, like, 6 weeks. Like, I just, it was not fun for me. And it's one of those where, like, you know, a couple years down the road, I was looking to switch servers again, but I raided and trialed with another group on another server for 2 weeks and found out I loved and adored them before I transferred over.
And I guess that's something that we haven't, that has kind of helped raiding or hindered or whatever you want to call it. It's adjusted the raiding scene, allowing that cross realm systems starting, I guess, in Mists of Pandaria when that was started up.
Mm-hmm.
It allowed you to, I guess, check out a group without fully investing yourself. I mean, before before BC, you couldn't even change your character across servers? Or was it later than that? Like, still a recent.
That was Wrath, I think.
Wrath.
I think
you
could switch servers.
So if you couldn't find a group on your server that was the right progression, you had to completely start a completely different character on a completely different server and leave everything behind. And now, I mean, you can pay a certain amount of money to avoid that.
Yeah, but you were bound by server and you were bound by faction, and now it doesn't matter, which opened an interesting competitive thing because you could race change for... I mean, granted, a lot of that's been done away with in these days, but, like, you needed to be a certain race depending on the class that you wanted to play because it gave you such a significant advantage. And something one of my raid leaders said many, many years ago, because he was that set on being, like, cutting edge, and he was a really great player, that he would, you know, be the pink dildo race in class if it got him the best numbers. And it was just one of the most hilarious but nonchalant things that ever came out of the guy's mouth because he was so calm all the time.
But hey, that was raiding. I mean, if you were really serious into it, you got in every single moment or every single scrap of an advantage you could get. And again, I think especially in Legion, they've made a hard push to play the way you want, raid the way you want. And they've really doubled down on bring the player, not the class. Not 100% true, or but it's probably as close as it's ever been.
Right, and some of that also has to do with just how many classes we have now. Like, we've had
12.
Yeah, you know, we've had three additional classes introduced to the game, and that's kind of crazy because, you know, unfortunately they've all been melee range, which causes, you know, legacy classes to be a little bothered by that. And, you know, cause changes for, like, oh god, this new one's on my tier token, I'm doomed. But even loot has changed to kind of compensate for that, where it doesn't matter necessarily what tier token you're on, because you can swap gear so much more freely.
Wasn't it originally like 3 pieces of gear from 40 man or like 2 pieces? I can't remember exactly. But it was something obscenely small for the number of players that were available for a piece of loot. And especially with tier being not a token, but an actual physical item. If you didn't have a paladin or if you didn't have a shaman in there and you got the loot drop, you got nothing from it. Like, nobody could use it.
Yeah, it was completely sharded. And I mean, even sometimes tier tokens has that issue because, like, this happened, I think, 2 expansions straight where we had the most disgusting abundance of Vank tokens. I was excited because I'm on the Vanquisher one. So I was like, yay, but we were disenchanting gear for tokens for all of our Vanquisher holders, whereas, like, Conk and Protectors were lucky if they had their 2-piece. Like, we had to assign them based on, do you get your 2-piece bonus? Okay, we'll give it to you. Is this your first piece? Sorry, better luck next time, bub. And it was just comically frustrating.
Yes, and that's something that's even changed a little bit. I mean, it still exists in personal looting, in group looting mode. But in personal loot, it just hands you the item, so it's always useful, mm-hmm. which is a nice benefit. But, you know, sometimes you're trying to funnel that specific piece of gear to a person to help the raid as a whole, and it's harder to do without the tokens. I mean, they tried it in Trial of the Crusader, where it was 1 token for everybody, and that just caused all sorts of drama. I mean, people were looking for, they'd hand it out specifically to get somebody 2-piece, and then they'd hand it to another person specifically to get 2-piece. So if you were a lesser, you know, quote unquote lesser player, you might not ever get your 2-piece with all the number of people that needed them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially with the amount of time that you're putting in and the amount of effort to not ever be rewarded because they're trying to funnel the raid to make sure that they can even clear it. It's just a recipe for disaster, to say the least.
Yep.
It could be.
I think if you have a very selfless group that understands that mindset, it works. But I think that inherently most groups probably don't function like that. Or most individuals in a group can't think like that.
I think as soon as you get out of the high-end raiders and into the mid-level raiders, you definitely have that disparity of personal gain versus group gain that loses the balance. As soon as you get down to the more casual group-friendly places. Nobody really cares about that. I think they're all more about having a good time, which is nice. But it's like, I would say, honestly, most of the problems with raiding and raiders in general falls into that not hardcore but not casual middle ground because there's so many differences. I mean, you have the players that are trying to take on the hardcore mentality that can't make it in that or don't have the time. Adding heads with the people that are, you know, the good players that are more casual oriented.
It's the curse of the upper middle class raider, I guess. I don't know.
We're not in the 2%. We're not in the 1%. Help. Yeah.
Well, I don't want to use the I like it, but I hate it because it's mean, but also painfully accurate sometimes in my personal experiences, which is the militant casual. The person that cares a little too much for the content that they're tackling, because if they were actually taking on that level of competitiveness, their mindset would be more focused on ultimately the greater good instead of the, like, well, I need to be tops and top geared and top output, but at the expense of...
But at the same time, you got to show those parses to get into those groups, you know? So you got to think a little bit more about yourself in that case.
Oh, parses. Carefully crafting parses always was interesting to me because I know people would be like, yay, I scumbagged and I'm, you know, top 3 for this fight. And then they bolt to another guild and it's like, okay, but you were a grease spot half the time.
I've done that.
How could you? No one else has done that.
I mean, I've done it. Like, once we cleared a raid tier, which, you know, at one point in time, we actually had a lull in between when one instance was coming out and the next, so we had farm time, and we would absolutely do things to scumbag DPS and make meters look fun. But, I mean, that was how we recycled the content. Like, we still made it fun because we were being obnoxiously silly about it, but we were still killing stuff, and once in a while, you know, it would wipe us just for being dumb. And it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe we should take a step back for a minute, guys, and maybe actually kill the boss instead of wiping on it five times to scumbag all the ads.
Respect that you're not a master of the DPS just yet. You're not a master of the padding just yet. Gotta respect those mechanics.
Well, I guess you bring up, you brought up an interesting thing about things you do in the lull times. Looking back on the history of raid tiers, you have quite a significant split between them. I mean, looking back at Vanilla, you had Molten Core and Anexia were the start, and they were, officially available in a current tier for 231 days. And that's a little skewed because it's, you know, a fresh game. It's going to take a little bit longer to start off and level all the way up. You know, from 0 to 50 took quite a bit of time, and then to get to gear and then to actually push into it while organizing 40-man raids, it added some time essence to it. As you got into Blackwing Lair, paired with Zul'Gurub, it really ended up being about 170 days, and on Courage, another 170 days, roughly, in Naxxramas, about 200, a little over 200. And for the most part, you know, the groups that were really pushing to get through it got through it. The groups that were, you know, steadily chunking through it either got through it or got very close. And then you had the more casual groups that didn't. And you see that progression going through Burning Crusade. It almost looks like 170, as I see it, or somewhere between 120 and 170 seems to be the sweet spot for most of the instances. As soon as you get under that, people talk about Ulduar being too short, and that was 110 days of current content. But then we definitely hear the adage of the too long. I mean, you had Ice Crown for 360 days, you had Siege of Orgrimmar for 429, you had Dragon Soul for 301, you had Hellfire Citadel for 435. It's just trying to find that balance of length of getting it in a certain amount of time without leaving too much empty space, but also giving people enough time to push through the content and have a good time with it.
Yeah, it's interesting seeing some of those times, because I'm thinking, like, God, I was raiding nonstop through all of that. Was it really a year? Oh, God, it was. But at the same time, like, I languished through Warlords painfully so, but only through the last half. So it's interesting of, like, what level I was tackling the content made it seem like it was a long or a short run. Because, like, Ulduar, now granted, I jumped into a raiding guild that had already killed it on normal, and we're, like, three-fourths of the way through all the hard modes at the time, so, like, just cranking out that last one was really, really hard, but the rest of it was a breeze. We, you know, trucked through Trial of Crusader, we trucked through all of Icecrown Citadel except for Lich King. Like, we spent 95% of, you know, the raid time or the release time for that just on Lich King, and it unfortunately kind of destroyed the guild from a raiding perspective, because we just couldn't get over that hump. Whereas when I was in Missa Pandaria, I was in a group that was trucking through everything, parsing it purple. Where does that come from? Parsing it perfectly.
Epic parsing. Great drop.
Yeah. So, I never finished Terrace of the Endless Spring until Siege had come out, because they were just cut a little too short. Throne of Thunder was just perfect. I mean, we killed Rod End the day before Siege dropped. that sort of thing.
That was perfect.
It was great.
Here, when you think about it, it was 100. I'm looking at the chart. I'm pulling up right now. It's 190 days. That was a longer tier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, was that a good thing? Was that a bad thing? It seemed fitting for the raid because, I mean, you mentioned you just killed Rod End. I think we got about 6 heroics in. We didn't feel like we were rushed, but at the same point, we didn't feel like we were, you know, going on forever in that raid.
I think there's something important to be said about, I would almost err on the side of not going on for too long, because that's when players get frustrated. It's like, yeah, I've already done that before. It's like, I don't know, maybe I'm the only person with this pet peeve, but I just cannot stand it when people repeat the same information to me as if they've never relayed this information to me before. And you just become immediately dismissive because you're not learning anything more, right? Like, you've already experienced the content, and yes, you are getting geared for the possible next new tier, and you are going to need that gear to progress. But when, especially when it's the last tier of the expansion, you know that in the next expansions, like beginning zones, you're going to already be stripped of your gear, is just no longer to be relevant. When you go on for so long, like what was happening in Siege of Orgrimmar or in Warlords of Draenor, you know that continuing to grind out this tier is just useless. So there's something to be said about, while you don't want a raid cycle to be too short, you don't want them to be too long either, because you just bore your players. They start leaving, they start disbanding, the social groups and communities start to erode, and they might not come back for the next expansion.
Yeah, I know that was a problem at the Tale of Siege, is that people had trouble, you know, keeping it together for that long expanse. And the same thing happened with Hellfire Citadel. It's like they, you know, finished the content 6 months in, but they still had another 7 months to go of just nothingness. And it's hard to keep people's attention. And I know some of that push of the hardcore rating is like they clear it all out in the first month so that they have the chance to take a break. But sometimes if you don't finish, you can't come back. Like, it leaves a weird taste in your mouth.
Yes, certainly. But you have, I mean, as far as pacing, how do you think that the best option is for gauging that pacing? Definitely not the hardcore progression groups. Because if they go through it so quickly, if you release a new raid every single time they finish it, the average person's not going to finish it. But at the same point, I mean, they have these ahead-of-the-curve, cutting-edge achievements. Should those be acquirable by the majority? I mean, should the majority be able to get ahead-of-the-curve before the next tier? And if they are able to, is that a good range?
I think that's an excellent question, actually, to sort of determine what the raid cycles are going to be. My immediate answer is no. And I think I'm actually going to stick to it, because the whole point of raiding, in a sense, is like, well, you want to complete the content, but there's so many different tiers of difficulty to complete the content in that I think that a group that truly understands what they're capable of doing, and they're able to find, they're able to be a part of a group of similar level players, are going to be able to complete that content in their sort of difficulty level. And I think that it's important to have it where not everyone can get that. And in fact, I would say, I mean, maybe it sounds harsh, but I would say maybe only 30% of raiders should be expected to get ahead of the curve.
I think ahead of the curve is even more prevalent than that. Cutting edge isn't so much, but
Sorry, I meant cutting edge.
Yeah. No worries. I was wondering if that was what you meant.
Cutting edge is actually a pretty hard achievement to grab in most cases. I wager probably no more than 10% of the raiding group gets it in most cases.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in end of expansion tiers, but in the prior ones. I mean,
I'm trying to think.
It's pretty hard, pretty difficult. I mean, I don't have statistics on it, so I can't say for certain. And I probably have to ask a Blizzard dev to really give an answer on that, but
that's if they'd even release that kind of information. I know, like, MMO right. Champion does polling and whatnot. I'm just thinking from personal experience, like, I have all of my cutting edges since they introduced it as an achievement, but I only have, or no, I have all of my ahead of the curves. Mm-hmm. I have two cutting edges, and that's it. And those are from Throne of Thunder and from Siege. You know, I missed some of the others just because of how they paired through. We missed Heimal because we only had Imperator left before Blackrock came out, and it's like, well, trying to finish the mechanics of this fight aren't worth wasting the time versus we can go in and just truck through Black Rock Foundry. And we did. Like, we steamrolled through Heroic. I think we cleared it in 2 weeks. And then, you know, we were basically still doing Heroic just to pull up the gear and the tier sets while we were, you know, progressing on Mythic at the same time. And so it was just one of those of like, eh, well, it's past its prime. Ain't going back now. There's no point until it's so trivial content that it's just for kicks and for giggles and for fun. You know, something you do on an off night versus actual relevant content that's worthy of the time investment. And so that always makes it kind of weird.
Now, and I guess maybe this is something to think about and linger on, but have we reduced the shelf life of content with all these difficulties? I mean, you have normal mode, you have heroic modes, and as you finish normal mode, obviously the next best choice is to go into heroic mode. And if you finish heroic mode and you have the group size, and, you know, most people would probably say the obvious choice is to, you know, dabble into mythic. But at the same point, you're still running, you've run the instance before, you're just adding a slight throw to the boss mechanics. Are you really doing anything new? In some phases, I would say that normal and heroic are about the same. And so as you've gone through normal, I start going back into heroic and I'm like, oh yeah, I've done this before. And there's less of an excitement for the most part. I wouldn't say it's gone, but it's definitely deadened, and you start looking at your calendar going, okay, when's the next raid here coming out? Because I've already killed this boss just on normal.
Yeah,
I absolutely agree with that. I think I think there could be something done where maybe there's an extra, like a couple of extra smaller bosses that are introduced into those raids. So while you're fighting the same bosses, maybe with a different mechanic or two, to increase the difficulty, maybe you are encountering some material that you wouldn't have access to otherwise. That becomes a whole other animal to balance and design around, but at the same time, I think there does need to be some more incentive to the player outside of, well, you get a little bit better gear so you can possibly, maybe you'll have the time to do mythic, but most likely you're only, like, if you start at normal, you might only have time to clear heroic before the next tier comes out.
Yeah.
And then it also begs the question of, you might just, you know, your raid might just lose interest. It's like, well, we've already killed this on normal. Why are we doing it on heroic? Like, this isn't worth it. This isn't worth my time.
Well, and especially I think normal and heroic is one of those things, like, you're going to do one or the other, but probably not both. Because chances are the normal raiders, they might dabble in heroic and never touch mythic, whereas your heroic raiders are probably gearing towards hitting mythic. It's just that the skill tipping point, because the tuning is significantly, like, it's not obscenely tighter, but it's significant enough that it's a hurdle that isn't so much between like, oh, I did this on normal, I'm more than qualified to do it on heroic. Just might actually have to, like, watch your cooldowns or something like that and be a little more reactive. But yeah, that disparity between heroic and mythic has gotten, the chasm is a lot wider than it was previously.
Yeah, I think that also makes trouble for a group that they decide, okay, well, maybe we need to do this on normal, and then at some point they bust through normal, and then their next choice is, well, we feel like we have to do it on heroic, you know, because there's just no way that we can do it on mythic. So then either their time of playing ends at the end of normal, or they're going to repeat or they're going to play through heroic, which feels like a repeat of the content they just did, or, you know, try to set themselves up to do mythic, but ultimately are probably going to fail because they don't really have, because now they have a disadvantage for item level in addition to just such a skill gap, you know, between normal and mythic. So it just sort of creates this interesting issue for raiders that aren't real, you know, that are probably better raiders than your typical normal raiders, but aren't really great enough to do mythic, or don't really have the time or interest to do heroic, which is too similar to the content they just did.
Yeah, I think that might be kind of a place that I ended up landing, because that was kind of like, on my way out of stopping raiding is when we switched from 25 man to 20. Like, I was that part of that disposable five, which I'm okay with. Like, I'm I don't feel bad about it, but I know that's where I landed. Like, I was part of that, well, you know, we really don't need these guys. We can kind of, they're not so good at the mechanic on that, that one. And so it was just like, oh, man.
I felt bad for those five.
Yep, you know? I was totally part of that five. Which
I would have kept you. I would have dumped anybody else.
I'm kind of bad, though. Like, but I know that. And I can accept that. So I didn't care so much. It's like, ah, I don't need the first kill. I'll come in for the second one. It's cool. It's okay, guys. You just go. You go kill some bosses, all right? But at the same time, like, I was one of the only streamers for a couple of raid groups that I was in. And so sometimes they would pull me in and just let me be bad just so I could stream content so that the raid leaders could go back and watch it and find out who was failing and go have an aside with them and be like, hey, what are you struggling with here, buddy? Kind of thing. So it was, I had my utilitarianness. Sometimes it might have just been bloodlust. And sometimes it just meant for the replay factor. But like, I had my place and I served it well and that I was okay with that. But not everybody is.
Certainly.
You know, actually, so this might be a topic for another time, but you brought up like this interesting idea that while so much emphasis is put into like basically what can you do on your character as it's like intended to be played, like you what you just mentioned sort of talks about more about like what's sort of realistic in the world, which is, you know, not everyone is only, you know, there aren't only like three paths to success. There's part of the success is, you know, to have that player that's sort of the spectator mode. It brings in the lust and the buffs. It's like we're going back to 40 man all over again. I don't know. It's sort of fascinating. I love it.
A shaman for every group.
Mm-hmm. There'll be bloodlust or heroism for all.
Well, and I think it's nice too that, like, you know, you didn't need to have one of every single thing just so that buffs were covered, or, you know, have certain people in certain groups so that buffs were covered. Like, it was a nice thing to kind of homogenize some of that stuff amongst all of the classes. I mean, it was frustrating because, like, the guy that was a baddie that only brought the bloodlust, he doesn't have a spot anymore because he's a baddie.
Damn, but what a shame. How would that happen?
So yeah. Harsh. but it meant that there was some choice. Like, it means one person wasn't making or breaking the team for the sake of progression.
Right. And that one player, while they may have brought one awesome utility that was, you know, it was like, you know, picking the worst of two or the better of two evils, where it's like, well, we need this shaman because he brings, you know, this buff to us. But at the same time, it's he's absolutely terrible, but we can't find anyone else to fit the spot. So anyway, it's just sort of neat again.
Well, I guess as we making their way on to Nighthold, or probably have already made their experiences into there, raiding has quite changed a lot. A lot of people will be going in quite differently than you would from the original Molten Core. No resist gear, of course. And be pushing through their content of choice. And I think that everybody will have their fun.
So actually, like, I feel like we've all sort of come to this idea that while in the beginning of the game, like, there was such an emphasis on fun, and then we hit this, you know, this need to, you know, really really challenge the players, and that, you know, came in the form of, like, heroic and 25-man raiding, 10-man, you know, heroic rating. And then now we're sort of we've almost made this full circle of like, well, it's still challenging, but we've also reintroduced fun for players of all sorts of different levels. It's not just only fun for the hardcore raiders, or only the hardcore raiders are going to see all the content. Now, most people that play the game are going to see the content at a difficulty that suits their capability. And I think that we're finally hitting this nice sort of happy medium of fun while still, you know, being challenging, and also being welcoming enough to players that haven't, you know, played at a high skill cap before to start to be introduced to that so they can grow as a player.
Yeah, it's a nice balance of accessibility and still providing a challenge. So you've got a broader spectrum of appealing content. For me, in my changing needs as a player, I appreciate it. I know others don't because they feel like there's the catering to the casual or whatnot, but I don't know. It ultimately comes back to I like what's changed and how it's grown, because I still have a place in it, and that's amazing.
Yeah, I also feel like I have a home as well, you know, where it's like, I know I'm not the greatest raider. In fact, I only really recently started raiding, if I can even call it that. Mostly only did PvP ever, but it's become so welcoming again, whereas in past expansions, it was like, well, if you start off only, you know, doing PvP, it was not accessible. Great word. It wasn't accessible for me to join a raid, like, or at least I wouldn't be joining a raid that was, you know, pushing current content. So, you know, I think that Blizzard's just done a really awesome job with that, despite all of, I think, our with most people complaining about, you know, what's happening with tiers or the, you know, if content's too easy or too hard. I think that they've actually hit a really nice medium. So, I think that's all my thoughts on that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's a good spot where we can kind of turn it out to our at least one listener out there, confirmed.
Somebody's
listening. No, actually, I've gotten some good feedback from multiple places, and that's really awesome. And you know, I thank you guys for listening. If you've got a minute, it would mean a lot if you could go to your perspective place of listening and give us a review or give us a thumbs up or, you know, share a retweet or something, you know, tell a friend, anything. Thank you.
Share it with your raid group.
Yes, share it with your raid group. There you go. Listen as a team or something. I don't know. But
private,
yeah,
team strat.
That'll tie us up for tonight, and we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye. Good night.
And don't forget, you can find us on Twitter at ArcaneAnalysis. And you can also email us arcana@blizzpro.com. And you can find me at KTJNWOW on Twitter.
You can find me at Alayva, Allayva.
And you can find me, Phyrexia, Phaerixia.